You know, I'll never forget a quote that Professor I was mentioning to you, Paul Zients, he said, and I think this is one thing, because he said it at that class that I just had happened to go to. He said, if you can, you can't save all students. You can't help all. You do your best that you can. But one thing you got to remind yourself is if you can help one student, you've helped that one generation. Because that's going to trickle to their kids and then their kids. So then you've saved that group.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Martin Du Bois. Martin is the superintendent at Reading Community Schools in Reading, Michigan. Martin, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm thrilled to have it. We found out that we have some common ground. I lived in Pleasant Lake, just north of Jackson, for 19 years. And turns out you have family that lives near there, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I grew up in Jackson.
Yeah.
So
Wow. Who knows? You know, you never know. It's really cool. That was really cool. So tell me the things. We talked a little bit before the show started, but tell me about what's going on in Reading.
Okay. So, I mean, this is my fourth year superintendent at Reading Community Schools, and which is in Hillsdale County, if you know, just a little caveat there. And, you know, it's a small rural community and a small district. We have about 700 students. But I tell you, the community here is so behind the school. Anytime it seems like that we need the community, they step up for us. And we just have great people here, and the kids are great. The staff is great. They help each other. It's like a family environment here, really.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, we've gone through some things like other districts, you know, throughout, you know, the state and the nation. But, you know, I feel like we come together here when things get tough. And that's the thing that is just keeps me here. And, you know, they work hard, they try hard, and I want to be there doing the same thing with them. So, you know, we have some things that are coming up. I'm gonna go back a little bit. We over the summer, we utilized some of our sinking fund, and made some big purchases. We got new equipment on the playground, new play structures at the elementary for the students. We repainted our facilities here at the high school, and it helped the building look fabulous. And it's an old building; it's been around, you know, since the early 1900s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. If you walk down our hallway here at the high school, middle school, you can see all the pictures of the graduating classes. And I think we got them down to like 1902. Yeah, with a group. It's really cool to walk down there and see that. And in other projects that we had, I feel like we had so many this summer, and we repaved our entry parking and drive through at the elementary. And, we just had a lot of projects, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without our sinking fund. So we do have that renewal coming up, and you know, I want to get some information out to our families and say, hey, this is what, thank you for one, and here is what your taxpayer dollars are doing for the school and your students and the community. So thank you very much. And you know, the renewal with the sinking fund is at no cost to our families. I mean, it's just a renewal. So whatever they're paying now, it will stay the same. And we also have a renewal fund from a bond that was, I think it was a 2019 bond, and it's coming up for renewal. And it's the same thing. We're hoping to use that renewal to replace all our windows here at the high school. Because when I got here, I walked right into the middle of, or near the end, I wouldn't say the middle of bond construction. And we put in new furnaces and we got rid of the old boilers. So, Yeah. And they were on their last legs. And, but now all the buildings have air conditioning because of that bond. And that renewal is coming up. So, Again, we need new windows. I mean, we got gaps at the bottom. They're thin. Mm. It lets air in. It's costly for the district. You know,
well,
so
and the heating, your heating bill must be astronomical.
The heating and the air conditioning when, you know, we're running over summer. Now, we've tried to run that a little low because we don't have students here. But, you know, sometimes it gets hot in September.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets hot in March and April and May. You never know.
It's a miracle sometimes. Right. We aren't talking about Michigan, but still,
Yeah, you know, we always say, you know, yeah, in Michigan, if you don't like the weather, wait a few minutes.
Wait 5 minutes, It's going to change, exactly,
So, you know, with both of those renewals, you know, I just want to get out to, and I will be, you know, getting out there and talking to the community and letting them know none of this is an increase in tax for you. It is just a continuation of what you are paying, and you won't see an increase. But while the difference it'll make in your child's education, and I can't thank the parents and the community enough for them, you know, voting to pass these things. So we're hoping the same thing can happen next year, because the bond renewal we'll probably look at for May of 2026 and the sinking fund probably November of 2026.
Okay. So you got a little bit of time. That's good.
We do.
That's good.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you have a campaign and people that are going to help get the word out about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If there's
yeah.
anything we can do from our corner of the world, we will absolutely help as much as we can, because it's important. These, you know, schools don't run on air. And we know that the funding for schools and the system for funding is a broken system. So these bonds and the grants and the things that are available to schools are critical for us to be able to educate our next generation. So, and I know friends, I have people that I know in Hillsdale County, so they will be hearing from me as well to say, family, they're still, you know, even though it's not blood, I do have one son that's up there. I have family. I mean, I have people that I absolutely love. We had we turned seven. I told you a little bit about this before. We turned seven this summer and we were up there in Jackson and had a party, and you know, we had families over, and it was a crowd. We had quite a crowd, and it's home. You know, Jackson was, that's where I raised my kids. You know, my kid, they went to school in Leslie High School, and you know, just so there's so many connections up there, and you know, half of my management staff is up there. So I have a lot of people I know in Hillsdale, so I will definitely make sure that they see this. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What advice would you give to a superintendent who is going through something like this, who really just needs the community behind them, and maybe they've never done this before? What would you say to them to help them to convince the community to back something like this?
Well, you know, you always want to be transparent with the community. So, you know, the dollars that you're spending that are taxpayer dollars, you want to let them know, hey, this is what it's paying for. This is what it's helping out the school. This is what your children are going to be using. And even if you don't have students that are in the schools, it's still part of your community.
Yeah.
And, you know, in so, you know, my advice is make sure you get the word out. Talk to them. You know, it's great that, you know, most of the staff live here or in the area. So that helps too. I mean, that's something that is beneficial. Word of mouth travels quicker than a lot of other things.
Yeah.
So when we talk
positive or negative. So make sure it's positive.
Right.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, and our board is on top of it. Our board always wants what's best for, you know, our students and our staff and our community. So we always have them rallying, and, you know, and some of our board members are business owners in the community as well. So, you know, they're definitely getting the word out. So the advice is just keep talking, pushing it out there, and be honest. I mean, if it's going to be a tax increase, be honest.
Right.
And, you know, because I know a lot of people are afraid of that sometimes, and I don't blame them, especially in the times that we're in. But you know, again, and I'm going to say this over and over, you know, the bonds that we got coming up, they're not increases.
Right.
I just want folks to know that. So, yeah, my advice is word of mouth, be honest and transparent. And you know, that's all. And then just hope for the best after that.
Yeah. So you said the one bond you're going to use for windows, right? And what was the other one for?
The other bond is a sinking fund. So that
Oh, that's
is,
a sinking fund. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So that helps us with any kind of facilities and maintenance. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you have an older building like we do, you just never mm-hmm. know when something's going to go awry. I mean, the roof, some, you have a storm come through and wipe the roof out.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to need a new roof at the elementary. So, we need work done at our track. Our track needs to be resurfaced. And, that's another thing that we're hoping to, either our sinking fund or our bond can help contribute towards. So, mostly facilities. So,
yeah. Yeah. So how many buildings do you guys have?
We have two buildings. We have one elementary and mm-hmm. And we have a combined middle school and high school.
Oh, okay. The middle. I heard you say elementary, and I knew you said high school, but I was like, where are the middle school kids?
Yeah, we're all in one building together here.
Well, I've said this before on the podcast too, but when I was I graduated 40 years ago, so this is a long time ago. So that building actually now is probably considered old, but I was in a building that was exactly like what you're talking about, an old building in middle school, in Grand Island, Nebraska, Walnut Middle School. And the 3 years that I was there, because it was I don't even know if it, I think they've changed it since then, but I was seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. And they passed a bond to build a new middle school because it was desperately needed. The city was growing, and they had two multiple elementaries and two middle schools and one big high school. And I know since then they have updated the high school as well, but it was literally in a cornfield that there was our house and then the alley and another house, a busy street, and then that cornfield. And they built that middle school right there. Where I went to middle school was 2 miles away, and I had to walk home. And they opened it my sophomore year. So I was already out of it and never got to, I've never been in the building, and it was right there. I was like, oh, I mean, it was a blessing for the community, and Grand Island is a great community. It really is. But it was a big, beautiful building. Never got to go there. but the value of looking back at it now, whether or not the kids will see it, some of them will get it, but not all of them. But when you look back on the work that has been done and where you went and what you experienced when you're there, those kids will recognize it, and those are children that will be in your community later that are going to be business people and workers and people that make the lifeblood of the community. And it's important that as a community, you value that for them and for their future, because their future is ours, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah. So I'm cheering for you, Martin. I want to see this happen for you. And you need to tell me, make sure you send me a message once it passes to say, hey, it's passed. And we'll let the community know, hey, it passed. And we'll attach it to, the podcast for sure. So
awesome. I will. Thank you.
Yeah. So for sure. And then we talked about a little bit also about your other passion, which is special education. So can we talk a little bit about that and how that's going for you there?
Yeah. My career started in special education. I went to Central Michigan University, and I got my degree from there, and my certification and focus area was emotionally impaired students. So I started my career teaching in a residential treatment facility for adjudicated youth. And it was through our ISD. This was up in Big Rapids. In the Big Rapids area, Mount Pleasant area, or north of Mount Pleasant, I should say. I'm sorry. That's where my passion really started. And when I came to Central, I didn't know what I was going to do initially. I thought about business, and then I ended up going to a special education 101 class. And, and why I went, I don't know. But Because I wasn't in the class. I just went
No?
with,
Mm-hmm.
you know,
Curious.
at the time. And I heard everything that Dr. Zients, and we were still friends. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but we were friends throughout my career, most of my career. And everything I heard, I was like, that's what I want to do. That's me. So, you know, I spent about 18 years, almost 20 years in La Costa Osceola Intermediate School District in special education, and then came to Jackson as administrator. And you still, even as administrator, even though you're not in special education, you're still dealing with special education. So, you know, here at Reading, we do have that, people know us, and when you think, where do I want to send my student that might have some difficulties and special needs? They think Reading Community Schools. And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse because you know, numbers get so big.
Yeah, it messes with your utilization, doesn't it?
Oh, you know, it's tough. So, yeah. You know, we look for support from our ISD, but I have great, great special education teachers and our staff here. And my high school principal, she has a background in special education too. So, you know, she's on top of things. You know, we do our best with what we have and what we can do. And again, we have that. We have that knack here that, you know, people want to send their kids here, and if they have special needs, and we do our best to accommodate all those, same as every district, I'm sure. But we do our best to make sure that our kids are getting the supports that they need.
There is a crisis in this country, a massive shortage of special education teachers. We know how devastating this can be for your students, families, and staff. Lighthouse Therapy places experienced special education teachers in virtual, hybrid, and on-site roles, and we handle everything from hiring to onboarding to mentorship. These aren't just placements, they're professionals who understand compliance, collaboration, and care. Let us help you fill in the gaps with special education teachers who really understand. We are here to help. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. To connect with us today. And there is something to be said for, you know, people that have a passion for it. You know, not that anybody else is doing a bad job, but it just seems to shine through when you know how to deal with kids with special needs and how to communicate with them. And, you know, how it there's just something that flows that, you know, it's my passion. Obviously, I'm a speech therapist and have been doing more than half of my career in special education in schools. And, you know, just like you just love those kids, and to see them succeed is just beautiful.
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget a quote that that professor I was mentioning to you, Paul Zients. He said, and I think this is one thing, because he said it at that class that I just had happened to go to. He said, if you can, you can't save all students. You can't help all. You do your best today, you can. But one thing you got to remind yourself is if you can help one student, you've helped that one generation. Because that's going to trickle to their kids and then their kids. So then you save that group. And I was like, yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Because sometimes it can be, you know, it can be difficult on all staff, you know, whether you're working with that special education student or not, because they have difficulties. You know, you're going to have kids in here blowing up and you know, who have an emotional impairment and causing some troubles and abilities, and it's hard for our general education staff sometimes to kind of understand, you know, hey, this is a disability, and you know, it's not personal, you can't take it, but take it personally. But you know, the training that we can give our staff just to help understand it a little bit, because I get it, you know, sometimes in special education, you know, you don't see the disability, so they look like a normal, typical kid. But there's other things that are going on, you know. So people have a hard time with that sometimes. So it's hard to convince.
When it's an emotional or an intellectual disability, a lot of times it isn't a visible disability. Yeah. Whereas, you know, if they have a physical disability, you can see it, right? Yeah. Down syndrome is visible. Mm-hmm. You can see it. But the other kids, it's like, but kids don't want to be bad. Kids don't. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, you know, the thing that I love is how we've shifted our thoughts about emotional impairments and the fact that there is an underlying cause. What is causing the child to react that way? You know, how can we help them to manage that, those internal struggles and the frustrations and all of those things that are going on? And not only that, there is the thing that also that I think educators need to remember is what happened before they got to school. Have they eaten? You know, what is it safe at home? You know, are they warm? You know, are all of those things we have to have, you know, food, shelter, clothing, in order to even be able to learn and to be able to be ready to learn. And then you add an emotional impairment on top of that.
Yeah.
Those poor kids, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. But you're doing it and you're helping. And the kids win, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, our staff is amazing and they bend over backwards to help all kids and all my staff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our special education department here is top notch.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, congratulations on that. I love hearing that because, you know, it just is. It's my heart. It's my heart. You know, mm-hmm. One of the hardest things for me when I started Lighthouse, because I was our first SLP, you know, we started and God called me to start this company. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And I've done it, you know, and we've been successful. And thank you, God, for that. But I was our first SLP. And then my first OT actually is one of our regional coordinators. I mean, we've grown enough that we served 2,700 kids last year. Which is a blessing. Thank you. I'm very proud of my team. Again, you talk about teams and you cannot do this by yourself. Yeah. But as we grew and I'm the CEO and I am the face of Lighthouse and, you know, Lighthouse now has gotten big enough. It's interesting when you have a company and you're Lighthouse, right? You're talking, you're selling it. You're the one that's telling everybody how great we are and to use us and blah, blah, blah. At some point you have to, I can't be a CEO and an SLP. And I remember having to give that up because I was doing both. I was trying to do both and I wasn't doing a good job at either one. You know, it was like, yeah. So what do? You know, it's like I can serve. And this was my, how I like managed the decision to not see kids anymore was I can serve 55 kids on my own. You know, that's a typical caseload, right? But I can't serve 2,700 kids on my own.
Right.
But right. I can.
That's what I was going to tell you. I was like, I want one, thank you for having me on here and allowing me to talk about this. So in essence, to me, what you're doing is helping a broader spectrum of students.
Yeah.
You're covering a bigger umbrella by helping us to promote, you know, these things with students, with the schools. So I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. Yeah. And this isn't even a piece that I even think about as something that I love doing this, obviously. But I don't even, I thank you for pointing that out because, you know, it never, till you said that, it was just, this is something that we do and I love talking about it and I'm trying to get the word out for you guys. But it's like, yeah, we are making a difference because we're giving this, we're just putting a platform in place, giving you guys a place to say, hey, there are amazing things that are happening. I was on a podcast. I was doing one, recording one yesterday, and I really got on my soapbox about funding and about how you guys are scored and how truly unfair the scoring systems for schools are. And she was great. We were definitely in tune on the same page. But boy, I got on a rant about it. But it's true. It's like people need to hear that. People that are not in education. Everybody went to school, right? Everybody went to school. So everybody's got an opinion, right? But they don't, they're not the ones that are doing that work day in and day out. They're not the ones that are fighting the battle for the bond. They're not the ones that are fighting the battle for special education and for your teachers and for the things that are happening. So you can have an opinion, but educate yourself. Understand what is happening. Listen to podcasts like this. Find out. Don't just listen to what the talking heads on media have to say about education, because they don't know. And half of them, their kids are in private education anyway and don't even have a clue.
Right.
You know, they don't. And it just, it's so unfair and so frustrating. And so that's why we do what we do.
Yeah. Right? And really, that's what drew me to this, because, you know, I get hundreds of emails every day. And,
you know, sometimes I see
and I'm like, I'll delete that. And I'm like, oh, podcast. Okay. But what really drew me to you was that it was presented to me in a way that you guys are showing the positives and the positive things that are happening in education, because there is so much negativity out there.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a great chance to get into that positive spotlight. And I was like, how can I say no? I'm going to try to get on this podcast so we can get it out there. And it's not just for me and reading. It's for the state of Michigan. It's for the entire nation of all of our public school educators. And so I was like, a positive light on this? Absolutely. I'm going to do my best to get on this podcast.
Well, good. I'm so glad. So I have one question that I ask everybody, or most everybody,
sure.
Not everybody, but, and if you've listened to any of them, you know my question, but you can't say money, because we already know you need money.
Okay.
We talked about the bond, right? We've talked about the bond.
Okay.
But if you could change, just miraculously change one thing, and I always say miraculously because it's like, I believe God can do whatever he wants to do. But if you could just change one thing in your world that you never had to worry about it again, what would that one thing be?
I think it would be that all of my students and all of my staff could have everything they needed to, for staff, all everything that they needed to be able to do the best job of teaching our kids. And then for our students, if there was some way we could just give them everything that they, that their needs require for them to learn, whatever that might be. I mean, because every student is different, and in a utopian world, if I could just fill any of those gaps for whether it's our staff or our students, I think that's
a great answer. That's a really great answer. Awesome. So, Martin, where do people go to learn about reading? And even if you have, and if you don't have it now, that's fine. But if you end up doing something specific with the bond, like if there's a specific website or something, let us know. And when we post this, we'll post that as well. We'll make sure that that's a piece of, so that there's an easy link for people. But where do they go to learn about you?
We just updated. Here's another thing that we did just recently. We updated our website, so it's www.readingrangers.org, and that's one area. We also have our own Facebook page, so if you just Google Reading Rangers, you can log in there right and then. Really, those are our two outlets, and that we have right now, and that's where we'll be focusing on, in regards to getting the word out.
Okay, good. Really great. That's fantastic. Well, Martin, thank you so much for your time. It has been an absolute pleasure to speak with you. I see your passion. I'm excited for Hillsdale County and reading and what's happening, because there are amazing things happening. Michigan's an amazing state. I raised my children there. So thanks again for being on Brighter Together, because we're brighter together, right?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Like I said, thank you for the opportunity, and I appreciate it getting the word out for us. So thank you. It is a pleasure meeting you.